Father, I thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light. We give you honor and praise. We ask that that light will shine in our hearts this morning, bring revelation and bring understanding, and help us, O Lord, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church even this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, here we go. The lesson today is a follow-up on yesterday's lesson. We're still on the series of overcoming the fiery darts that the enemy would throw at you from time to time. Piggyback on the written message from last day of last year. The enemies that should not go into you with you into the new year. And we are taking it one bit at a time. And as a quick overview, you know, we have covered the subjects of fear and anxiety. We've also covered the subject of unbelief and doubt. And yesterday it was disobedience and a rebellion. And as a follow-up on that, I'm taking about 2 days for each of these topics. So follow up to today, I want to cover a quick review on disobedience and rebellion, but more so bring the benefits of obedience and submission. We covered a bit yesterday, but I want to bring, a bit more today. Praise the Lord. Benefits of obedience and submission. Hallelujah. So that's where we will discuss this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, a quick review of the subject of disobedience and rebellion. We read in Romans 5 and 19 how Adam's disobedience made all men sinners. The disobedience of one man brought sin upon everybody and caused us to actually lose what it was that God imputed unto Adam. It was dominion, you know. And so that was the disobedience of one man, the offense of one man, and so on. But also, on the other hand, the obedience of one, Christ, makes us to be righteous. But we must follow on to do as the Christ did, because he was the example and he was the blueprint. And so, you know, we see the stories of those in the scriptures that did not quite obey the Lord. A good example was Saul in 1 Samuel 15, that thought he had obeyed the Lord, but 100% obedience is actually required. You can't do half or 90% or whatever. It is called disobedience when we do that. And it is considered as rebellion, even as a sin of witchcraft. We saw that yesterday. Now, let's see also the situation where disobedience can bring us into, if we're not careful. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 tells us that people who are in disobedience, they're outside the will of God, and the wrath of God is actually upon them. He says here, let no man deceive you with vain words, Ephesians 5 and 6, for because of all the evil things which he talked about before, the filthiness, the foolish talking, the jesting, which are not convenient, the fornication, the uncleanness, the covetousness, and all these things that he talked about, you know, and even the whoremongering, unclean persons, you know, uncleanness, covetous, and all of that, idolater. So let not any of these people think that they will have inheritance in the kingdom of God. He said, well, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And so we see that, you know, disobedience is a terrible thing. God actually classifies people who walk in disobedience as having the wrath of God upon them. You know, so it said, be ye therefore not partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light. Hallelujah. You know, so we need to walk as children of light in obedience to the will and commandment of God. All right. So also in the book of Colossians chapter 3:6, we see again that, you know, disobedience puts people in a bad position with the Lord. You know, it's pretty much the same thing. It says the same thing here, you know, that he said in Ephesians, you know, chapter 6. It's pretty much the same thing. Talks of, calls out all these works of the flesh. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So we see, you know, the rewards or repercussions of disobedience brings the wrath of God. You know, now we are no longer classified as children of disobedience. You say, you are sometimes darkness like that, but now you are light in the Lord. Therefore, walk in the light, which means obedience and submission to the will of God. You know, so that's the negative part. But, you know, let's talk about the positive part. We're going to look at Christ's example throughout the scriptures. I will be looking today at Christ's example, and then we'll drop it down to us. Remember, God said, you know, in Romans chapter 8:29, the will of God was revealed. You know, what was in the mind of God. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be, you know, I mean, conformed, you know, conformed to the image of the Christ. That was what was in his mind concerning us. And so he wanted us to be, you know, like Christ. He foreknew us and he predestinated us that we would be like the Christ, so that Christ might be the firstborn, not the only one, but firstborn among many brethren. So we see that, you know, he was the blueprint of what we should be like, you know, which means then we need to look like how he did it, you know. So let's look at some scriptures about how he did it. First off, Psalm 40:7. Also Hebrews 10:7. Hebrews 10:7 is quoting Psalm 40:7. But let me read Psalm 40 first of this prophetic declaration about the Christ, really. So here's what it says. He said, well, I come to do thy will. I delight to do thy will. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Well, you know, that's really a prophetic declaration about the Christ, but also about us. Is it written in the volume of the book concerning you that you will be like the Christ? Well, I just read it. Romans 8:29. It is written that we will be like the Christ. So, you know, you can claim and, you know, speak the same things. And then we see that, you know, in the book of Hebrews, you know, chapter 10, the writer of the book of Hebrews talking again about Christ, you know, for the most part, in the first few chapters of Hebrews, you know, for several chapters, actually, was comparing Christ to a lot of things, either the angels, either the, you know, high priest in his days, even Moses, and so on and so forth. And, you know, even the priesthood of Christ. So here he's talking about, you know, the mission of Christ. He said, well, you know, sacrifice and offering. Well, okay, let me read it from verse 4, Hebrews 10. It is not possible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sins. It's talking about what Christ did versus what they used to do in the old days. They used to sacrifice yearly, but how Christ did it one time. Now, it says, you know, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not, but a body as thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin that has had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. You know, talking about Christ, I'm quoting from Psalm 40. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings you would not have, he said, no, neither hast thou pleasure in. Well, remember, Saul's disobedience, Samuel said the same thing to him. Has the Lord pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as he does in obedience? It's better to obey, you know, the fat of rams and all of these things, because Saul was saying, well, I kept these things back to give sacrifice to the Lord. The Lord said, no, I'd rather have your obedience. Now, he said, you know, this God has pleasure more in obedience than for burnt offerings and sacrifices. You know, and he said, I come to do thy will, O God. So that was what was in the mind of Christ. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus made this declaration, talking to the disciples after they came back from the city, getting him some food, which they thought he had been hungry. Jesus administered to the woman at the well. And he said, well, and they said, I thought he was hungry. And he said, well, you know, you guys, you don't know what I really feed on. My meat, he said, I have food that you know nothing about. My meat, he said, is to do the will of him that sent me. That's John 4 and 34. And to finish his work. You know, so that was his purpose. And he would be obedient in everything. Whatever the Father wanted him to do, that's what he was going to do. Well, let's read some of the declarations of Christ. You know, John chapter 6 and verse 38. We're going to be reading about his submission now. The submissive part of his life. You know, I submitted his will to the will of the Father. John chapter 6, 38. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's right. You know, that was his declaration. He submitted his own will to the will of the Father who sent him. John 8 and verse 29. Jesus said, you know, look, I am never alone. The Father is with me. Why? Because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. So we're going to talk a little bit. I talked about this yesterday, the active and passive obedience. Active obedience is, well, you know, Jesus said, this commandment I have received of my Father, that of all that he has given me, I should lose none of them, but should raise them up at the last day. That's called giving commandment. In fact, he said also, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will restore it. This commandment I have received of my Father. So there are some point blank commandments that he came with, and he's going to do that. That's active obedience. You know, someone that sent you has commanded you, and then you're doing it. That's active obedience. Well, what is passive obedience then? Well, passive obedience is doing the will of what pleases the one that sent you. Even if he didn't point blank command the thing, but you know what pleases him. That's what Jesus is saying in John 8 and 29. I do always those things that please him. Therefore, I know he's always with me. Now, that is a lesson for all of us to do. He that has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, because I do always those things that please him. Now, that's his passive obedience. you know, we're just doing the will of the Father, whether it is something he actively spoke about for the moment or not, but you know what pleases him and you do it. Hallelujah. So that's how Christ operated in the days of his earthly ministry. He says again in, you know, Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. Here's an example of Christ going through a lot of stuff and praying hard, you know, and he knew what was ahead. And he said, look, if there's any way at all that this cup might be taken away from me, because you know, this cup involved him becoming darkness. Sin was going to be laid upon him. He was going to be made sin for all. And he knew that the Father would be separated from him because God is light. 1 John 1 and 5. And in him is no darkness at all. So if you become darkness or sin, you will be separated from the Father. Christ knew that. And terror came upon him, you know, even to think of that separation. And he prayed earnestly about it. Blood was coming out of his head like sweat, you know. And finally, he said, well, you know, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine, you know. So, you know, that's how he was submissive. Just submitted completely, no matter it cost him everything, but yet he submitted all, you know. Let's read some more things about how, even in his teaching ministry, what Christ said. You know, Christ didn't go about, you know, trying to teach what was in his mind and what he wanted. He said in John chapter 7, verse 16, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Well, you know, that ought to tell everybody aspiring to be a teacher or ministers, or even those who are already in ministry, that ought to tell everybody something. You know, let's do it like the Christ did. Christ did not glorify himself to be a speaker or anything. He was the perfect example of the ambassador. And his ambassadorship was demonstrated in the things that he did. Perfect ambassadorship. I do not my own thing, but my even the doctrine, even what I say, I can't say anything but what the kingdom that I represent says. That's it. You know, so John 7 and 16 will tell you that Christ was determined, you know, to speak only what the Father was speaking and not speak his own ideas or his own thoughts, you know. And he said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And if any man will do his will, then you will know of the doctrine, whether I be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. That's right. Now, if you see anyone that is a minister and they are speaking the word, but they are only speaking about themselves and drawing attention to themselves, then they seek their own glory and they have their own reward. So that's simple. You know, but he that seeketh the glory of he that sent him, even that same person is true and there is no unrighteousness in him. And Jesus put it right out there. So you can use this to discern, see whether the ministers are speaking of themselves or of the Lord, and determine whether there is righteousness. I mean, they're walking in righteousness when they give all the glory and attention to the Lord, or they are walking in righteousness because they're trying to steal God's thunder and, you know, try to draw attention to themselves. So that's what Jesus is talking about here. Now, let's read some more of the examples of, you know, Christ's obedience. You know, we read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. This captures it very well. And some of the rewards that came with that as well. Today's lesson is going to be about rewards. But first, we showed how Christ submitted. And let's see some of the rewards that even Christ himself would obtain because of his obedience. Praise the Lord. It says here in Philippians chapter 2 And it says from verse 3, actually, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem the other better than themselves. Each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things only, but to the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. There wasn't anything he was grabbing at, even though he knew it was God. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Everyone that hangeth upon a tree, and he took that curse on himself, you know, and wherefore, because of all of that, God. Now, here's the reward. Here comes the reward. First, before the reward, well, Jesus said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things in order to enter into his glory? This is what he told the two disciples in Luke chapter 24 on the road to Emmaus when they were talking about the things that befell Christ over the weekend. And they said, well, Christ was crucified and all of these things, and we thought this and we thought that. And some of the women in our company went there and didn't find him in the grave and so forth. And they told us these things. And they began to say all these things. And they were troubled. And Christ approached unto them and he listened to them. And he said, well, oh, ye fools and slow to understand all the things that the prophets have spoken concerning the Christ. Don't you know it? He said, ought not Christ, you know, to have suffered these things in order to enter into his glory? Luke chapter 24 and verses 25 and 26. He said it to them. You know, this is the way that Christ entered into his glory. Went through the suffering, you know, learned a lot of suffering. We read that yesterday, that even though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Yes, suffered a lot of things. And, you know, but God also point blank raised him up. And now we are told that because of his obedience, right, and all the things that he suffered and put himself through, God has highly exalted him. Let's read how he suffered. Hebrews chapter 5. Even though he was a priest made after the order of Melchizedek, we're told in verse 7 that in the days of his flesh, Hebrews 5 and 7, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. We saw how that blood was coming out of his head when he was praying. That he was, you know, prayed with crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. But, nevertheless, he said, not my will be done, but thine be done. And God heard him because he feared and walked in the ways of God. Well, though he were a son, he was the son of God, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. What in the world does that mean? How do you learn obedience? Well, it is the things that he submitted himself to. It was intentional submission to allow the will of the master and the will of the father, in his case, to be supreme, and submitted his own will. And therefore, he said, he was made perfect and became the author of eternal salvation to them that obey him. So he obeyed God, gave us a perfect example, and then he's going to be the captain of his salvation to them that also obey. So obedience was what Christ was showing us. And let's go back to Philippians chapter 2 and read the rewards that he got from it. Today, people are still using these scriptures till today. They're still saying the name of Jesus is highly exalted above every other name. And believers all around the world are still using these scriptures to gain victory by the name of Christ. But this is how Christ got it. It was through his submission and through his obedience. God has highly now exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, or whatever is in heaven, of things in the earth, whatever things are even under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The glory of God the Father. That's right. Look at how Christ got it. So Paul is now telling them here that, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, this is all about obedience, ladies and gentlemen, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling by continuing to obey God. Hallelujah. And he said, look, the Lord is the one that's going to give you the enablement to do it. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we see the rewards that Christ got. At the end of it all, he's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Father has put all things under his feet and exalted him above principalities and power because of his obedience, because of submitting himself fully to the Father. Now, let's see how we also should do the same. We talked about Christ's active and passive obedience already. What about ours? Well, 1 John 3:22 says, you know, we know that we will receive the things we ask of God because, you know, we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing unto him. Do his commandments. That's active obedience. Do the things that are pleasing unto him. That's submission of your own will. You know, if you're about to do something, but you know this doesn't please the Father, you may not have a point blank commandment at the moment and say, don't do that. But, you know, Christ said, well, I do only the things that are pleasing to my Father. Therefore, he's always with me. Well, when we do the same. So we are actively obeying his word. And also, you know, we have the passive obedience, which is submission of your will to his own will. That's really what passive obedience is. You know, I mean, I could do this thing. Paul said, look, all things are lawful for me. They may be, though, but they may not all be expedient. Or therefore, I'm going to give up some things if I know they won't be expedient. Or even if it might be a stumbling block for somebody else. Rather than me standing in stubbornness and saying, well, you know, scripture didn't say that, I'm going to consider, you know, the faith of those that might be weak, and I'm going to consider that it might not be pleasing to God, you know, and I'm going to submit. This is what Paul was saying. And so, you know, this is the same posture that we should have. Let's see some of the rewards that God point blank promised for obedience, you know, to his word. Obedience, I call it the gateway to becoming, you know, part of God's peculiar people. It would have been their obedience that would make them enter in, according to Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The Lord said, if you will obey my voice indeed. Well, it starts out by obedience, the call to obedience. But what is the reward if you obey? Well, here's what he said. You know, then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. All the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Now, so look at all the rewards that could come to them through their obedience. You know, give them a gateway to become God's chosen people. You know, for you to be a treasure to the Lord, you must walk in obedience. That's right. You know, and this was these are some of the benefits that could come through obedience. But he said, you have to obey my voice. You know, that's it. You can't just do what you want. If you obey my voice, then you have these blessings. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. I'm going through quickly some benefits of obedience here, you know, and doing his commandments. There are two parts to this obedience, the actively obeying, doing the will of God, and so forth, and also submission, which is in a passive obedience. We just submit ourselves to his will, doing the things which we know only pleases him. And if it doesn't please him, you don't do it. Well, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 lays out four different things, you know, or conditions, but they are all really the same thing, you know, to bring us into a place where we can enjoy the healing that God would bring. Here's how he puts it out. Four different things that he calls out. He said unto them, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that's Exodus 15 and 26, that's number one. Diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Number two, will do that which is right in his sight. That's the, again, you know, doing what pleases him, whether it's point blank commandment for the moment or not, but you know what pleases him, you know what's right in his sight, and that's what you do. That's number two. Number three, you give ear to his commandments. And number four, you keep all his statutes. I mean, this is all about obedience and submission to his will. Then he said, well, here are the benefits. I will put none of these diseases upon you, which are brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, you know, that's a blessing of healing that we receive as a result of obedience and submission to the Lord. So that's a benefit, a direct benefit, and a direct reward, you know, obedience. You know, here's another one. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 13, and see, you know, whether this obedience, what does it really do for us? Well, the scripture says it's actually for our good. You know, this obedience, it brings us good. Now, Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? Well, I say unto you also now, you children of the Lord, household of faith, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, walk in his ways, love him, and to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day, for your good. That's right. So, this keeping of his commandments and his statutes and, you know, following in his ways is really for our good. Hallelujah. This is what he's saying. It'll be for your good. The Lord will be gracious unto you. It will do you good all your days because you keep his commandments and do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. So that's another point blank benefit. Good will come to you, you know, by way of God releasing things to you from the heavenlies. Your obedience, you might put it this way, is a portal that opens the windows of heaven for God to pour good into your life. Now, that's the way you might see it. Because you say, look, if you do all these things, it'll be for your good. So, you know, all that God has set some ordinances in place. Good will come unto you when you are obeying his commandments and doing his will. And Jesus also outlines the rewards of obedience. We read this yesterday, and I've alluded to this many times. It brings us into union with the Father. You know, that's a special place that obedience brings you into. Jesus talked about it in John chapter 14, you know, between verses 21 and 23. He said, look, you know, if you want to be, you know, my friends and keep my commandments, pretty much, he that hath my commandments, he it is that loveth me. And he that loves me, he said, look, will also be loved of my Father. And it's going to bring you into union with the Father. There's a special relationship, a differentiated kind of love that you will enjoy from the Father. And I said yesterday, I said, this is different from John 3:16 love, which says God loves the whole world. This is a differentiated kind of love, you know. It's a special love. It's a special bonding between the Father and you when you are in a place of, you know, obedience and submission to his will. It's special, very, very special. It brings you into a place where you receive revelation. They say, I will manifest myself unto him. You will, you know, enjoy the glory and the presence of the Lord. And he said, look, we will come unto him. Verse 23, make our abode with him. Now, you know, let me put it to you this way. God commands us to seek after the Lord. Say, well, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near and all of these things. But I guarantee you, the one that is walking in the will of the Lord, constantly doing only the what pleases the Father, obeying all of his commandments. Well, you might say the role is reversed. God is the one that will be chasing after you now. This is what he says. I will come unto him. You know, so now there's a line that you must cross that makes God now stand up and come after you, chase after you now. Praise God, you know, because you have met the requirements. You know, not many people can cross that line or have crossed that line to the line where they are 100% obedient. You know, many of us at the end of the day, we come back and repent. Well, Lord, Holy Spirit, you told me to do this during the day and I didn't do it. I'm sorry. Well, you haven't crossed that line yet. When you get to that line, like the Christ, there is no, you know, saying, well, you told me to do it. I didn't do it. He's always doing it. Always. You know, I always do those things that are pleasing in my sight, in the sight of the Father. He said, I do always those things that are pleasing. When we get to that place, cross that line, God will stand up. Hallelujah. Come after you. Thank you, Jesus. You know, so, you know, this is a tremendous benefit of obedience. Now, he's coming for you. You know, you're going to experience something that others are not experiencing. You know, a union with him like nothing you've ever experienced before. I will make my abode with you. This is the ultimate goal that should be uppermost in our hearts, to be in that place where we are no longer, he's there, we are here. You know, it's no longer God is visiting you, a visitation. Oh, that's wonderful. But now this is habitation. You know, it's not just he visits you once in a while now. This is now habitation. I will make my abode with such a one. I just walk in obedience and submission. Hallelujah. You know, so now all of us lay claim to the fact that, well, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know, I will be with you. I will send you another comforter that may be with you forever. You know, but do we really, have we really come to the place of really experiencing, you know, the revealed presence of the Lord, you know, where he's manifested unto us like that? I say, I will manifest myself unto you. What does he mean? You know, the psalmist said, he said, look, you know, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. and at his right hand, you know, there are pleasures evermore. Well, let me ask us, you know, does the Bible say, number one, in Psalm 16 and verse 11, does the Bible say this? Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Okay, says that. All right. Does the Bible also say, this same psalmist, he will say also in Psalm 139 that, look, there is no way to get away from his presence. No matter where you go, go to the heaven for height and go below for depth, go anywhere, you know, you can't get away from his presence. So, his presence is everywhere. It's called Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is always there, you know. So, there is a universal presence. But let me ask you this. If in his presence is fullness of joy, and his presence is everywhere, then that means everybody, everywhere, in all places of his dominion, should be in the fullness of joy. But is that the case? Absolutely not. That's not fullness of joy. People are in sorrow. People are in depression. You know, everywhere. You know, and there is, you know, great wickedness and all things happening. Because the universal presence of the Lord is different from his revealed and abiding presence. And he's talking about, I will make my abode with him. Now that's a, and I will manifest. Now that's a different kind of presence than the universal presence that's everywhere. You know, God is everywhere, even where crime is being committed. He's everywhere. Bible says he's everywhere. You know, but do those people have the fullness of joy? Absolutely not. This presence that brings the fullness of joy is the one that comes under John chapter 14, verses 21 and 23. That presence is different from the universal presence. It is the one that is ushered in through obedience and perfect submission. And that's the place where you don't go in and out. That's the place where, you know, the scripture says that, you know, the Spirit of God was not given to him by measure. Because, you know, he's not, you know, going in and out. You can read that in John chapter 3 and verse 34. You know, whom God has sent, he speaks the words of God, for God gives to him the Spirit not by measure unto him. So Christ did not have a percentage. He had a fullness, we are told, of the Godhead bodily. You know, because he was 100% submissive. The Father was in union with him. He wasn't going in and out. The best of us at times go in and out. And even when we are really experiencing this, you know, there's too many distractions still causing us to go in and out. You know, Jesus never went in and out from the presence of the Father. He was one with the Father. I and my Father are one. John 10 and 30. Always there. One with the Father. This is where we must get to. And the portal to help us get there, the gateway through which we must pass, is keeping his commandments and doing what is pleasing in his sight. Yeah, this is powerful stuff. And Jesus said, when you get and cross that line, I'm coming after you now. I will come unto you and I will make my abode with you. You've been seeking the Lord. You've been walking his way. Now it's his turn to come after you. You say, God will chase after somebody. Well, absolutely. He said it here himself. I will come after you. My Father and I will come. We'll make our abode with you. Hallelujah. So may the Lord help us to understand that and to get to the place of that kind of obedience that draws the Father, you know, towards us. Powerful, powerful reward for obedience and for submission. There's nothing like it, really. Let's read a few more verses here before we wrap this up. There are many things, you know, that obedience will give us. Even victory over the works of darkness. Did you know it? You know, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, we begin to read, and many of us quote these scriptures, but we stop short. of a very vital part. You know, here are the things that we quote. We always quote from, for we walk not in the flesh, nor do we walk after the flesh. That's verse 3. We also quote verse 4, which says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We quote that. We also quote, you know, verse 5 that says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We quote all these things, you know, that we have power through Christ to do these things. But what we forget to quote is verse 6. You can't stop short in verse 5. You got to go on to verse 6. And having a readiness, you know, to revenge all disobedience. In other words, put all disobedience down. How do you do it? When your own obedience is perfected. That's how you do it. Praise the Lord. So all this power that you can wield to cast down imaginations, power you can drill to pull down strongholds and so forth, power you can wield to bring captivity, I mean, everything down, every thought and so on, all this power that we lay claim to or try to lay claim to, actually, the real secret there is your own obedience being fulfilled. That's how you will defeat all these other things. Praise the Lord. So you can see how powerful obedience is. And every time you quote that chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians 2, remember now to go on to the obedience part. That is so key. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. The darts of the devil, like disobedience, rebellion, suggestions. You know, like the devil will try to bring, like he did to Eve. You know, try to discredit the credibility of God's word. Has God said this and this and that? And Eve said, yeah, he said, don't do this and don't do that. And said, well, I mean, she, you know, God knew something else that he didn't want you to know. You know, that's why he said that. But let me tell you something. Let me show you what you will have if you do these things which God didn't want you to have. You know, so discredit God's word. Discredit even the integrity of God. Well, scripture says submit yourself. So this is the benefit of submission now. When you submit yourself, you know, it'll give you the strength to actually resist the devil. And you'll get victory over him because he will flee from you. That's what he says. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. We read this also yesterday. Holy Spirit is given to them that obey him. Praise the Lord. You know, so. And then finally, Revelation 22 and verse 14. We also read this yesterday. You know, we started by the commandment of obedience in the garden. God gave them instruction to draw out that obedience. And that's it. You know, that obedience is always there. You know, even though he put the in the Adam the complete package to be like God, Genesis 2 and 7. Say God deposited in him the breath of God, the spirit of God came upon him. God put inside of him the complete package, cosmic knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and everything was in upon him. He knew everything. He knew instantly everything. He had knowledge like God. I mean, he had power like God. He could command the animals. He could name them. He knew everything. He didn't have to learn to walk. Didn't have to learn to speak. Didn't have to learn anything. He knew everything instantly. God put it on him, you know, and it was an instant son of God, you know, grown. Wasn't born like a baby. It was a grown instant son of God, mature already. But God had to test him because, you know, every son that he receives must be tested. He has not had opportunity to grow up in life, go through crawling, walking, falling, doing all these things. He was power all over, right away. It was light all over. Well, so here is a little test. Obedience. Obey my voice. You may freely eat of all these ones, but this one over here, don't eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, that's a test of obedience. That's a test of submission. Even if the thing looks pleasant to the eyes, even if it looks like something to give you wisdom and something to be desired. And, you know, the Lord said, don't do it. So, you know, so we see right there, the test of for obedience and submission of the will was right there in the garden. Well, Eve chose to believe the devil's lie, and she was deceived. And then Adam chose to go along with Eve. And here we are today. And we have all this stuff, all this mess that we are in. And we're still struggling to get back there. But Revelation 22 and 14 will tell you, this is now the end of the book. You know, as a young man, I read many books. I used to read novels and different things. I was an avid reader. You know, I don't read too much more these days, except the scriptures and some other things that pertain to that. But I read a whole lot when I was young. And when I picked up a book, one of the first things that I would do is try to read the back of the book, what they call epilogue, you know, how the story ended. And I'll read that, you know, some books put that in. And then I try to fill in the blanks in my head, you know, before I even read the whole thing. Well, here is how it ends. You know, if you pick up this book of the Bible and you flip to the end, you will get to what we call the book of Revelation. And you flip to the end of that, you will get to what we call chapter 22, which is the last chapter in the book. And here is how it ends. It started with God putting a test of obedience before them. And then at the end, here is the incredible reward of obedience if you make it. And that's what he said. Revelation 22, this is the end of the matter. And verse 14. We're almost at the very last chapter. We're at the last chapter now. Almost at the very last, very close to the last few verses of the book. And what did he say? Well, he said in Revelation 22 and 14, there is a great, tremendous blessing to those that do his commandments. Can you believe it? That after all that book, he's still talking about keeping his commandments. Well, let's read it. Revelation 22 and 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. The very thing that Adam lost, you know, kicked out of the garden, you know, right to the tree of life. These ones that keep his commandments will have it. Praise God. So we've gone full circle now from Genesis to Revelation, and it's still about keeping his commandments in order to have right to the tree of life, and in order to be able to enter into that city. There is a city which God is crafting. And Jesus said, look, you know, when it's ready, I'm coming to get you. Well, it's ready now, and he's coming. It's coming into view. And John was shown, he said, look, I saw that holy city, my goodness, coming down from heaven, you know, adorned as a bride, you know, and so forth. I mean, you know, had all kinds of things, jasper, you know, and jasmine and amethyst and all these, you know, stones and of beauty and value in his foundations and many things. And my goodness, he said, well, those that will have right to the tree of life, well, they are those that do his commandments. You know, so the commandments, doing his commandments and submitting to his will, many, many benefits throughout the scriptures. Well, I'm going to wrap it up here on the topic of disobedience and rebellion. Remember, disobedience is the same as rebellion, which is the same as witchcraft, the same as sin and all kinds of evil. That's what we're told in, you know, First Samuel, you know, chapter 15, when Samuel called it out against Saul, who thought, well, I have obeyed the Lord. I have done all these things. And Samuel said, no, I've not done anything. So let's read it. hath the Lord as great delight, 1 Samuel 15:22-23. Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So obey the Lord, you know. It's not doing this and doing that to try to make up for your disobedience. No, obey the Lord. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. This is what they were told in the Old Testament, you know. So here he said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Wow. You know, he lost everything due to disobedience. And we're told that disobedience is rebellion because you did not submit to the will of God. You chose to do your own will. That's rebellion. And when the whole world rebels against the Lord, it's called mutiny. The whole world has now rebelled against God. They do not want his lordship. Just like children of Israel say, we will not have God as our king. We want a human king like the rest of the nations. Give us a king. You know, and God said to Samuel, because Samuel was distressed, said, well, it wasn't you that they rejected. It is me that they rejected. But go ahead. Give them what they ask. But show them what will happen to them in the latter days. You know, when you begin to seek for a man to rule over you rather than God, you know, show them all the things that will happen. And, but, you know, we go now to end this lesson by saying, blessed are they that do his commandments. That's right. When we do his commandments, there are many blessings. Say, you're blessed. That's for doing his commandments. There are many things that he will give us because we did his commandments. Praise the Lord. He even said we will have right to the tree of life. And in the future, someday, by the grace of God, we'll talk more about the tree of life. Now, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. It's the conclusion of the whole matter on this subject of obedience, submission, disobedience, and all that. Well, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. That's it. So, Father, we thank you. We now understand the whole duty of man to fear God and keep his commandments. We have heard, Lord, of the benefits of keeping your commandments, even greatest of which is coming to union with the Father. Have right to eat of that hidden manna that comes from the tree of life. Blessed be thy holy name. Show us, Lord, even more so these things. And we thank you because you are the one that walketh in us both to will and to perform of your good pleasure. But we desire to do thy will, O God. I said, I desire to do thy will. I come to do thy will. In the volume of the book, it is written also of us that we will be like the Christ. Therefore, O Lord, let the Holy Spirit have his way in us. You know, walk in us, Lord. Bring us to that place of perfect submission, where we always say yes to the Spirit of God. Lord, we thank you. Show us thy ways. Teach us thy ways, O Lord, that we may know you, that we may be like you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for the benefits of obedience, some of which are healing and so forth. And more of it is being a peculiar treasure, a chosen people before the Lord. Ah, may the Lord see us as such. May we be, you know, able by the Spirit of God to bring ourselves into such a place where we will be a peculiar treasure unto the Lord through obedience and perfect submission. Thank you, Father. We see how Christ did it. Teach us, Lord, to learn of him in same manner. In Jesus' name, we give you, Lord, all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.